la luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, mi mare dare. Figli mia, putterare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Se te non ne abisci a ullo, io va, che te viene sempre a baccalare del mare, bene. Se ci picchia bande, se è baccalare, figli mia.
Hi, this is Gerald Celente, and it's another week of Trends This Week on Wednesday, February 24th, 2016. And what a week, like the last week, but only another week. And of course, the big news on the political front, on the presidential reality show, ladies and gentlemen, the reality show champion, Donald Trump, pulled out another one last night. Looks like he's going to be the GOP cat that's going to represent we the people of the United States. A real estate developer, a deal maker, a cartoon character, a blowhard, born on third, thought he hit a home run, arrogant guy, only talks in half sentences and no full thoughts. Big promises, empty words. Perfect politician. Yeah, kind of like an Obama. Hope and change you can believe in, folks. I'm going to close Guantanamo. First day, first year I'm in office, he said on his first day. And now it's going into 8 years later. Well, I'm really working toward it now. Well, you know, the president only has so much power. That's what his liberal folks say there that love him so much. Yeah, he has power to start wars, right? Can't close Guantanamo. Did a great job there in Libya, huh? And now the USA is sending troops and bombs away over Libya. Yep, after overthrowing a government that did nothing to us, call him a dictator, call him a monarch, call him anything you want. When Gaddafi was in power, Libya was a stable country. Migrants were not flooding out of it from Europe, from Africa through Tripoli into Europe. And it was the richest country in Africa. But now Obama, who's now going to close Guantanamo, and again, the people give him a free ride, the people that believe his baloney, but he could start wars, but he can't close Guantanamo. Give me a break. And Assad has to go, and we're going to support the moderate rebels that nobody ever knows what they look like. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. So here we are, and it looks like it's going to be, as my campaign slogan for 2016 on the presidential reality show is, Trump or Clinton, Hitler or Hitlery. This is a joke, man. It's terrible. It's a bad joke. So that's on the, it's very important also to understand this Trump character. You know, he's a smart guy. He's shrewd, I would say. Not smart, shrewd. And what he did immediately is the person that he attacked, he took out the top cat. And he went after Jeb Bush. Foof, Bush gone. Zip, zip. $150 million they spent on this character to run him for president. $150 million down the toilet. For what? Could you imagine if they put $150 million to promote peace? You think we'd have a different country? And in turn, a different world. And all those people that think there's an Illuminati out there pulling the strings behind the scenes, if there was, there'd be a Bush as the GOP challenger to the Democrats. What you see is what it is. And people don't want to admit it. They don't want to believe that the freak they love is the freak that is, or the freak they hate is the freak that somebody else put in there, and they had no power to change it. When you think of this George Bush debacle, totally out of the news, totally out of it, couple of minutes, speech he made, zap, the cat's gone. He was so desperate, he brought his brother out in South Carolina. I mean, this is the guy, George W. Bush, got booed off the stage in Obama's inauguration. And people forget that? And that's how desperate he is? He brings out his mommy and his brother? These are the people running the country? And the media is disgusting. I'm so sick. Morning Joe, morning this, morning that. I had enough of them promoting these clowns, these suck-ups. They're prostitutes. And they just keep this system going. So, Trump or Clinton? Hitler or Hitlery? Because that's where we're at. So, over the last few days, the Fed, that's the Federal Reserve, private organization, a group of banksters, excuse me, a group of banksters that have nothing to do with the Constitution of the United States. Actually, it's against the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5, that gives Congress the full authority to print and regulate the money supply. And not to have a central bank was a major campaign issue throughout the 19th century. And it wasn't until that great sellout of a man, Woodrow Wilson, no, excuse me, long night last night. Well, not longer than any other ones, but I was up for it a long time. Again, I keep saying Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks. He was the president of Princeton, Woodrow Wilson. I mean, you know the guy got an attitude when they name you Woodrow. How many Woodrows did you ever run into in your life? You know, these are the better than now people. And that's their attitude, by the way. They all look down on us, the Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks club. He's the guy that gave us the Federal Reserve. He's also the warmonger that took us into World War I after promising during his campaign earlier to be if he was that he would not bring us into the war if reelected. And of course he did. And the war was almost over in Europe, and they destroyed Europe just as it was thriving. Another sick war started by sick people for no reason. And anyway, the Federal Reserve is a private bank, as you well know, has nothing to do with the country. It's run, the country's, it's a takeover. Wall Street has hijacked Washington. It's in front of our eyes. So anyway, over the last few days, the Federal Reserve has come out saying things that are quite astonishing when you listen to the language. So for example, just yesterday, we heard from the Federal Reserve Vice Chairman, Stanley Fischer, born in Nambia, moved to Israel, has Israeli passport, and now they gave him an American passport. So now they've got a foreigner as Vice Chairman of the Federal Reserve. He came out and he made a statement. He said, quote, the Fed officials, quote, simply do not know, end quote, what course of action to anticipate since, quote, it is still early to judge the ramifications of the increased market volatility for the first 7 weeks of 2016. Huh. Really? Too early? You simply do not know? What don't you know? What can't you see? This is the Federal Reserve. These are the people operating the largest printing press in the world. And they're saying they simply do not know? After looking at the market volatility for the first 7 weeks of the new year, a market volatility that we've never seen at the start of a new year in the history of the Dow, and you don't know? You don't know the market volatility after seeing the markets going up over the last few days on hype, and now again they're down over 200 points? You don't see the volatility in the oil markets, up 8%, down 5%, up 6%. Oh, this is, you don't understand what's behind this? You're the Fed vice chair? Who would hire somebody to do a job like this and seeing all the data in front of them and not being able to determine what's going on? Would you hire them? Can't they see that the commodity index is gyrating between 1999 and 1991 lows, and it's bigger than oil? Oh, you can't see this? You're the Fed vice chair. You know, you're one of those real smart guys. You guys know everything, because that's the attitude that you have when you give yourself these names as vice chairman and chairman of the Federal Reserve, and they roll out the red carpet, and you have this attitude to speak down to us. And then, of course, we heard just a little over a week ago, the Fed chairwoman, Janet Yellen, in testimony before Congress, saying the Fed had no new policies, quote, because we want to be careful not to jump to a conclusion about what is in store for the economy. You don't want to jump to a conclusion about what is in store for the economy? So you don't know what's going on now, and you don't have a clue what's going to come down later, and you people are running this? Who could hire such incompetent people? Or are they really stupid, or are they just playing stupid, and they really know what's going on? Well, let's look at some facts. You know what the Federal Reserve does? Being that they're a private operation and they're not, won't open the books to us. Matter of fact, we the stupid little people aren't even allowed to see if we have gold in Fort Knox. Hey, but we're telling you it's there. You just pay attention to what we tell you and you just follow orders. Get back to work. They won't let us look at the books. No. What? How dare you? How dare you ask us, the people that are stupid or playing stupid because they, quote, can't jump to conclusions or simply do not know, they won't let us look at their books to have an accounting. They won't show us the gold in Fort Knox. That's supposed to be ours. So I say that you judge it for yourself. You know the motto of the Trends Research Institute and the Trends Journal. And by the way, the winter edition is out and it is a blockbuster. Woof. Guaranteed. Money back guarantee, as a matter of fact. You won't read anything like it anywhere. And certainly you won't get this kind of information from the Federal Reserve. So here's the deal. Being that they don't let us read the minutes until they want to publish them, They hold back the full minutes of Federal Reserve meetings until 5 years. So 5 years after the Panic of 08, they came out with the meeting minutes leading up to the Panic of 08. They didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue. It's right there for everybody to read. So, is the Federal Reserve stupid or playing stupid? And you could decide, but the facts are there. They did not see it coming. No way, no how. It was off their radar. They didn't have a clue. And now they don't see what's going on as well. And you can see the facts. And the facts are leading up to a global recession. It's one of our top trends for 2016. The Federal Reserve didn't see the panic of 08. And they're not seeing the panic of 2016. Again, just look what's going on in the equity markets. You're seeing from Asia to Europe to United States, equity markets in turmoil. Day after day. You're looking now as we speak gold, and you know I've been speaking about this virtually every week on Trends This Week, that I kept saying that when you look at gold, by the way, it's one of the only commodities other than sugar prices, which are going up now because they're blaming weather conditions, El Nino, for a shortage of sugar. Gold is the only strong riser since Stanley Fisher can't figure out the volatility in the first 7 weeks in the market, putting on the new year, gold has been going up smartly. So now, as we speak, gold is hovering around $1,250 an ounce. I've been saying on this show over and over and over and over and over, I'll be like a Donald Trump, over and over and over and over and over. He always repeats the same thing. I don't know whether it's a marketing ploy that he does where he's just, you know, doesn't have any more information to fill in, or it's some kind of a mental defect, but he does that all the time. I kept saying that when gold goes over 1,200, it has to solidify well in the 1,200 range for a while to move to its next breakout point, which is $1,400, as we forecast. We don't give financial advice. We're trend forecasters. 1,250, 1,260, 1,270. From there, it goes to 1,400 if it solidifies in that range. After solidifying the 1,400 range, we believe the next mark is a spike toward 2,000. Because unlike the Fed that claims they don't have the knowledge to see what's before them, we believe we do have that knowledge. And matter of fact, by their deeds you shall know them, and our deeds clearly show that we have forecasted what they have not seen. So we're not jumping to conclusions or simply do not know as they do. We're looking at what's going on around the world. You're looking at China. Its slowest growth in a quarter of a century. Japan's back into recession despite two rounds of Abenomics, which pumped in trillions of yen into the system. And what did it do? Well, it temporarily boosted the equity markets as the quantitative easing and zero interest rate policy did. But of course, did nothing for we the little people. And then you look at the data coming out on exports and imports throughout the Asian zone. It's plummeting. The Asian economies are being jolted. Taiwan, South Korea, Singapore, Indonesia, India. Follow the money. The banking indexes are at 20% declines and more into bear territory. You look at the MSCI's All Country World Index. It's treading into bear territory. One piece of data after another. How about that European gross domestic product, huh? Barely puttering along. No recovery. A cover-up. That's why gold is going up, we believe, because you have zero interest rate policies, $7 trillion worth of bonds, by the way, in the global market are now giving you back negative yields, which means that you loan the government money and they give you back less than you loan them. It's a sweet deal. I mean, how you can't make this stuff up? This has never happened, ever. In the history of the world, nor have they ever had negative interest rates. But they're doing it. They're lost. So is the Federal Reserve and the central bank stupid? Or are they just playing stupid? The equity market turmoil is a direct reflection of the dire economic conditions spreading across the globe. Matter of fact, when we talked about the global recession, it was one of our top trends for 2016 that came out the first week of December. We were ridiculed. Bah, there's no global recession going on. The gloom and doom is over there up in Colonial Kingston, New York, the Trends Research Institute, and that Gerald Celente. Can't you look at the positive things? Oh, yeah, like that 95% of the wealth since the Federal Reserve instituted quantitative easing and zero interest rate policy that went to the 1%. Oh, look at that as a positive. I mean, after all that dough went to 1%. Now they are even speaking about a global recession. To us, the market has peaked, and not only in the equities, and the decline is underway, but also in real estate. Real estate's flattening out, particularly in the hot cities, as we see it. Again, our forecasts are different than what you're hearing on MSNBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, CNBC, Bloomberg. I was on my way yesterday and going down the city listening to Bloomberg. They had this arrogant guy from JP Morgan Chase saying that anybody that sees a recession coming on doesn't know what they're talking about and people should listen to him. That's actually his words. Arrogant. JP Morgan Chase. Oh, yeah, Jamie Dimon. The head of it was a Legs Dimon. I get him confused. Gangsters, there's so many of them out there, you forget their names. JP Morgan Chase boosted the markets a week ago Friday when they came out and said the chairman, Dimon, is buying back some $26 million worth of stocks in JP Morgan Chase. That was supposed to be a vote of confidence or con game, because that's what it is, confidence, con game, confidence man. And anyway, they have something to sell. And they need us, the little people, to go deep in debt and to believe their rap. They give a zero interest rate policy, so they're forcing us to gamble in their markets to keep the Ponzi scheme going. Well, this guy from JP Morgan Chase on Bloomberg, my God, one shill after another. Yep, one shill after another. hawking the markets, how great everything is, and they keep talking about job growth and how low our unemployment rate is. Well, even the CEO of Gallup poll called the unemployment numbers a lie. And that's what they are. The jobs that are being created stink. Half the population in the United States that have jobs are making under $30,000 a year. And all those folks that can no longer find work, that are off the unemployment rolls, in the USSA, they no longer count you as being unemployed. You is God. So when you add that number into it and you go to John Williams' shadow stats, you're looking at about a 22% unemployment rate in the country. But these arrogant people on Bloomberg, and they don't want anybody that doesn't toe their line or a kiss up to the banksters. That's all they do. Every one of these shows, same tired faces spewing out the same BS. Oh, and every now and then they'll put on somebody different. But not too different. You can see where this is going. And it's going south. As we would suggest you consider, prepare for the worst. If the worst doesn't happen, and you're prepared for it, you haven't lost anything. But if the worst happens, and you didn't prepare for it, you can lose everything. So, I believe, and we're forecasting, that the panic of 08 is going to intensify. And what could get the people's minds off the markets derailing is that something else occupies the space between our ears and our brain, and it's called war. And the wars are heating up, particularly in Ukraine. The Poroshenko government has virtually lost its support from the people that overthrew the democratically elected government of what was his name again? Yanukovych, that was it. Back in 2000, I believe it was 11, 12 around there. So it's lost all its fight. It was a little later, I think. So now you're having the right-wing Nazi elements of Ukraine coming out against the Poroshenko government. It's heating up again on the Eastern Front between the Russian separatists in East Ukraine and the Poroshenko government. When all else fails, they take you to war. And you're hearing now more and more support, more munitions, more American, quote, contractors helping to fight against the Eastern Europeans or Eastern Ukrainians, Russian separatists in Eastern Ukraine. And you keep hearing these reports of all of the Russian armaments moving into Eastern Ukraine, but yet they won't show one photo, not one photo, but a lot of propaganda. I'm talking about this because, again, when all else fails, they take you to war. And you can get your mind off terrible economic times when bombs are dropping and terror is striking. And if you don't believe me, go back to 2001. George Bush gets elected in 2000, takes office end of January 2001. February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, 8 months later, 9/11. The United States was in a recession back in 2001. The dot-com bubble had burst back in March of 2000. But boy, the people's minds got off the economy very quickly. George Bush's popularity rating was going to under 50% the day before 9/11. After 9/11, his popularity soared to over 90%. Could you imagine? You could fool some of the people some of the time. Yeah? You could fool most of the people most of the time. Because most of the people were fooled. But it got the people's mind off the economy, and that's when they started the big market rigging. And that's when Alan Greenspan, the former Federal Reserve Chairman, began to lower interest rates to 46-year lows and created the housing bubble and all the scams around it. I guess you forgot those ads back then. They'd show persons somebody's house and they make it look like a piggy bank, a little drawing. Your house is a piggy bank. Take out a home equity loan. Go deeper in debt. Buy that new car. Go on a vacation. We'll give you a loan and we're not even going to check your credit rating. And when we do, we'll lie about it. Because we're just going to loan out as much money as we can, put you in deep debt as we can, and steal everything you have when you can't pay us back. Because we is the bankers, or banksters. So we're looking now at a very, very similar situation. When the economy's failing, they're going to get our minds off it by war. That's our forecast. And it's heating up terribly in the Middle East. And not only the Middle East, it's a global meltdown. You know, you look at just what happened yesterday. You saw Brazil's credit rating. It was cut to junk by Moody's Investor Services. Junk. Remember everybody used to talk about the BRICS, the big BRIC nations, Brazil, Russia, China, India, South Africa. Look at them. Their currencies are at near all-time lows against the dollar. Brazil, this huge economy, they're in such terrible shape. Their credit rating was cut to junk. And so what do? They increase taxes. That's right. They steal from the people who have less. They increase value-added taxes. They do anything they can to steal more money to bail out the banks for making bad bets. You take a trip down here to Argentina. Just 2 months ago, everybody was cheering that new guy over there, right? Macri. And what did he do? He devalued the peso. Now you know what inflation is? 25% to 30%. Yep. So there you got it. You have one corrupt government after another, and it's around the world. And what they do, just like they did in what they're doing in Brazil, what they're going to do is they're going to raise taxes. Give the people less money and make them pay more. It makes perfect sense. In other countries, they call it austerity measures. I mention this because it's not only the United States, where, of course, we're the world's largest economy, but, and when something happens here, if there's a terrorist strike, false flag or real, and I say false flag or real not as a conspiracy theorist, because I'm not. I only try to look at facts, and I do look at facts when I can get my hands on the best of them. The fact is, it's not a conspiracy to call George Bush a war criminal to lead us into a war without full knowledge that Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. But yet we went to war based on that. It's not a conspiracy theory to say that the United States launched a war against Afghanistan when they did nothing to us. Well, they say that they were harboring Osama bin Laden, but that's not a reason to overthrow an entire nation and destroy it, particularly when they said that they wanted to deal with us to solve this problem, which they felt that they weren't a part of. All the facts and data are there. So it's not only the United States and all the wars and murder that it's killed that has put us up as a target for terror, but I'm talking about these other countries like Brazil and Argentina, because when you go south of the border, you're seeing the peso have been declined over 30% against the dollar. You're seeing unemployment rise throughout all of these regions. Now there's unrest also growing in places like Bolivia and Colombia, Venezuela, Argentina. Okay. Where do you think a lot of these people are going to go to look for a better life? El Norte. Now take a trip over to the other side of the lake or the pond. Look what's going on in Europe. They have a refugee crisis from the murderous wars committed by the United States and its coalition of the killing in Libya, in Iraq, in Syria, in Yemen, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Now let's go back to the declining commodity prices around the world. And we could start down at the Cape of Good Hope down there in South Africa. The rand is at an all-time low against the dollar. The mining sector is collapsing. Companies are going bankrupt. Social tensions are rising. Go to Congo, Niger, Nigeria, Algeria, Ghana, Somalia, Sudan, South Sudan, Eritrea, Ethiopia, country after country, Tunisia, Egypt, political unrest, and in those countries, among them, the ones that are resource rich that are now going poor. All that money they borrowed in these emerging markets when the Federal Reserve pushed out that quantitative easing and zero interest rate policy, and governments and corporations borrowed big to boost their markets. Now they're in free fall. Economies declining, currencies plummeting, and the commodities crashing. Where are the people going to go? El Norte, into Europe. We are on the verge of what we're calling the last world war if it's not stopped. These countries are going under one after another, ruled by dictatorships, monarchs, and phony democracies. Name the country. It's more of the same with different titles and different names, but the scams and the corruption are the same. Whether the corruption out of Spain with Rajoy, go back down to Brazil, go around the world. Oh, look what's going on. Hey, wonderful times over there that Bill Clinton caused with the murderous Yugoslav war, huh? Yeah, another revolution going on there in Kosovo. Yeah, but that's not going to make the news. Let's not talk about that. Oh, and where are the people leaving from Kosovo and Macedonia and other countries that they carved up that can't find work and there's turmoil? Into Europe. The migrant crisis keeps growing bigger along with the refugee crisis. What's going to happen? How is it going to be handled? Will it get worse? We believe it'll get a lot worse. The European Union has no clue on what to do. And you can read the facts, and they state that as much. When all else fails, they take you to war. To us, this is a replay of World War I, more than a World War II, but only at different levels, because it mirrors the preliminary movements into World War II. First, you had the crash of 1929. Then you had the Great Depression. Then you had currency wars. Then you had trade wars. Then you had World War. Now you have the Panic of 08. Then you have the Great Recession / Depression, depending on where you live, who's running your country. And if you're living in Italy or Spain or Greece or Portugal, France, and you're out of work, living home with mommy and daddy in the States, the Great Recession is a depression. Currency wars. You're seeing the yuan being devalued in China. You see countries across the planet devaluing their currencies, hoping to drive down the prices of their currencies so they could hopefully export more product. But that really won't work. Because, yes, you'll be able to export more because your currency will be more competitive, but you won't be exporting a lot if people are buying very little. And again, when you look at the data as to what people are buying and why they're buying very little, it goes back to quantitative easing and zero interest rate policy, which put here in the States 95% of the wealth gain in the hands of 1%. And then when you look around the world and you look at the Oxfam report, 62 people have more money, more wealth than half the world's population combined. So they could devalue their currencies all they want. They're not going to be selling a lot of product if people don't have the money to pay for it. So we are on the brink of war. And they will take us to war in a blink of an eye, because they're psychopaths and sociopaths. And it's up to we the people to stop it from happening, because it's all tied together. They use religion as a pretext. Ah, these wars are fought over religion. No, they're not. They're fought over money. They always use religion as one of those cards in there to play, but bah. It's more about who can make the most and steal the most. So that's where we're at. It's another wild week in the equity world, and only getting wilder. And very interestingly about Donald Trump, I've said this before, he's opened up the only thing I like about him is that had he not gone in there, it would have been a Bush-Clinton dull campaign. And now with him in there, he showed what a fraud the whole thing is. Because after all, if you can have a reality show champion leading in the race to the White House, I mean, if it doesn't get more fraudulent than that, you know, then you believe that Mickey Mouse was, you know, really a Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Donald Trump. It's a freak show. What's good about it also is he's opened the opportunity for a new third party. And we are forecasting there's going to be a third party movement. There'll probably be a strong push from the libertarian end, probably with somebody like a Jesse Ventura. But it won't be enough to derail the Donald. But there's also opportunity for something else to come into the mix as well. Because this is really a galvanizing election like none I've seen probably in my lifetime. In the sense that there are those that really dislike Trump because he gets away with telling lies and never gets called out for them and just keeps bragging about who he is and being very racist in his statements, particularly against Muslims and Mexicans. And, you know, I saw thousands of people cheering, Arabs cheering, when the World Trade Center came down. But he can't show you one photo. And it's not like all that video footage was erased if it was there. But he gets away with it. So he's galvanized them on one end. And then on the Democratic end, the ones that were going for Bernie, if Hillary wins, they're going to be disenchanted with Hillary. They're not going to throw their support behind her. So it leaves that big void in the anti-Trump and the pro-Bernies. And that is what a third party can really seize upon and grab those disenchanted voters. And again, I know a little bit about this field. I designed and instructed American politics and campaign technology at St. John's University. I used to run political campaigns in Westchester County at a graduate school back in the 70s, early 70s, and was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate. So I've been around the arena, so to speak. And as it stands now, the timing has never been more opportune than for a new third party. Again, when we talk about the disruption and what's going on and how it's all connected, you know, you saw what was going on with oil prices, for example, how they were spiking higher on the hopes that the Saudis would cut back on oil output. But you know, we said they weren't going to do it. I'm mentioning this because it all ties together. There's going to be revolutions happening in the Middle East again. You could call it Arab Spring 2, you know, for lack of a better term. But it's going to be happening. The Saudis need oil at $100 a barrel to break even. Their economy is supported and the people are quieted by having lousy government jobs that they do nothing in but get paid well to do, or not having any jobs at all being taken care of. And now that's all ending. Bahrain, they're, by the way, their credit has been downgraded too. They have a civil war that's being suppressed by the Saudis between the Shia and the Sunni living in Bahrain. The emir over there. Maybe I love these names, emir kings, you know. Stop with this stuff. Why can you call Gaddafi a dictator and you can't call these other people dictators? No, because they're our allies. And the Fifth Fleet is stationed in Bahrain. I forgot. Oman. Qatar. Oh, by the way, look what's going on with Al Jazeera. They sold it to Al Gore sold it to them, what, for like $500 million, his old TV station there, cable network, and now they're closing it. But they're cutting back staff all over the world. Qatar is in trouble. Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, all these Arab League nations, oil and energy rich, going down fast as they're spreading war in the area, particularly at the murder of the innocent Yemenis that are being slaughtered every day with the help of we the people who are selling them smart bombs to blast them away and giving them reconnaissance, intelligence, and air refueling. What I'm saying is the whole area is being destabilized. The global economies are crashing. And the implications are going to be far and wide. They don't stop at any country's borders. There's never been a time now where there's been a need for a peace movement greater than we see it. If we don't stop it, we believe by the time the elections end in the United States, they will take you to war. Think about it. As I said, you go back to Woodrow. He promised no war. Took us into World War I. FDR promised no war. Took us into World War II. Johnson promised no war. Bingo, bam, boom. Launch Vietnam. Tricky Dick Nixon. Yay. I got a secret plan to get us out of Vietnam. I'm going to bomb Cambodia and slaughter people in Laos and keep the war going until we kill another couple of million people. But he got away with it. I had a plan to end the war. They start the wars after they get elected. And that's what we see happening now. The drumbeats for war are growing louder by the moment. Every one of the political candidates talks about getting tougher. Donald Trump's going to build the biggest military in the world so nobody messes with us. What stupid person would utter such ignorant words and get away with it? Donald Trump. And the prostitutes that let him happen, that let him say it without bringing him to any kind of realization to the emptiness of that stupid, ignorant phrase. Hey, Donald boy, the United States has the largest military in the world, second to none, nobody even close. You can't beat a bunch of guys in old Toyota pickup trucks, Junior. You can't beat a bunch of guys with these terrible weapons over there in Afghanistan, Junior. And you're going to build the biggest military so nobody will mess with us. And they get away with it. Get away with it to the point that he's on his way on the path to the White House. Or will it become the Trump House? Matter of fact, why not change the name of the United States to Trumperica? Yeah. If he could get away with all these cheap lines and stupid lies, why not take over the country? Call it what you want and do it what you will. They're leading us to war. You can see the path it's taken before. Again, go back to the beginning of the 20th century when it all began to change. Under the war criminal, may he rot in hell, Woodrow Wilson, and for giving us the Federal Reserve and stealing our future. What is the dollar lost since 1913 when this happened? Over 95% of its value. And then the slaughter that he created by keeping that war going. World War I after it was ready to end. And then, of course, you keep going up and down the list. FDR. Johnson. Nixon. Oh, I forgot Clinton. Yeah, remember they came out with that book, The End of War. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, I forgot. What was that? Oh, yeah, the Yugoslav War. Oh, and then, of course, there was, forgot those no-fly zones, huh? Over Iraq. And over 500,000 Iraqi children under 5 dead because they couldn't get medical supplies. Yeah, but he was, yeah, peace and love, huh? Yeah, peace and love with him and Gore. You know, that was the beginning of the baby boomer sellout. Carbon taxes. That was a scam. Yeah, you could pollute more. We'll pay. We'll do less, and we'll pay you. We'll make this a Wall Street game. The environmental movement was growing strongly. Clinton killed it with this murderous act. Oh, by the way, you liberals that love Hitlery, you like them GMOs in your food, don't you? Huh? Yeah, that was a Clinton gag too. So again, we're saying this, and we're putting out the alert. We're on the verge of the panic of 2016. The equity markets are unfolding around us. The war drums are beating louder. The people in charge are either playing stupid or are really stupid, as evidenced by what I read to you by the Federal Reserve. We have a Congress that's totally incompetent and inept. We have a military that just keeps starting wars and losing them, slaughtering people around the world and destroying our troops. And nobody talks anymore about how many of our troops commit suicide each day. The number, I believe, was around 22. And another 50 or so attempted each day. I'm tired of bankers in the military telling me how to run my life and run my country. It's my country, and it's your country. It's there for us to either move in a positive moral direction or let the Trump take over, because that's what we're doing here. Campaign 2016, Trump or Clinton, Hitler or Hitlery, the choice is yours. This is Gerald Celente. And that's Trends This Week. And it's up to you. As Andrew Jackson said, one man with courage, or woman, makes a majority. Sempre bacalara del mano bene. Se ci picchia bande se è bacalara picchia me. In his hand.